Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, no game for the Padres as they get ready for the first of three starting tomorrow in Colorado. Meanwhile, here in studio, we've got Jordan Carruth and his Sox.
Everybody that sits in that seat, the Sox just are a thing with that seat.
Well, they did give me a sock budget, so right. I capitalized on that.
We've also got Bill Center, who's glad to be here in San Diego and not that weirdly progressive Colorado place where the team's headed.
It's too yuppie for me. I mean, that's even
too yuppie.
Not even yuppie, it's millennial or whatever you guys call yourselves now.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jordan Carruth and Bill Center.
All right, I'm not sure what we call ourselves, but...
You're a millennial.
Am I a millennial?
Yes.
That's probably the nicest thing you're going to say to me for the next hour.
Likely.
Very likely. Bill Center, I'm Jordan Carruth. This is Padres Social Hour. We are inside the AMR studios, and it is presented by United. A very busy Petco Park. It is an off day for San Diego.
Right.
They're on the road, but that doesn't mean Petco Park is quiet.
Right. And they've packed many events in here this year. They are making use of this facility.
Absolutely. It's concerts.
Right. Concerts. Conventions.
Comic-Con.
Right. Comic-Con was here. But, I mean, other conventions have a number of events on the field here this year.
Yeah, it's a very, very busy Petco Park. I've come to expect that coming down here, even though it is an off
right.
day, even though the team is on the road. You know something's going to be going on at Petco.
And the Detroit Lions are not playing here.
The Detroit Lions are not playing here. So what is it like right now, this part of the season, speaking of off days for the Padres? We're well into September now. The season starting to close out a little bit for some teams in Major League Baseball. What is it that you are watching when you see these games, Bill?
I'm watching kids right now. Well, I'm watching the races. I'm watching the wild card races, the division races, the... I had a lot of interest in the Texas-Houston series just completed, but I'm from the Padres side, I'm watching the kids. I am really looking at the kids, trying to figure out, not just the kids, I'm watching Jerko at shortstop. I'm watching Jankowski whenever he's in the center and whenever he's at bat. I like what I see from Jerko at shortstop. I like the approach from Jankowski. That's right now what I'm watching. I want to see Erland and Kelly here in the last couple weeks of the season.
Yeah, all of a sudden the starting rotation is going to get bumped up to six pitchers.
Right. Well, I still think that's probably a turn away. I think that maybe Kelly will get two starts at the most. I don't see it going to six right away. But I do want to see Erland on Saturday. I'm very interested to see how he pitches after – really rough start in Triple A, had a great second half. When he left here, like this spring, there was never a question that he was going to make this staff unless there were some serious injuries. And there was a question as to whether or not he was a 4A pitcher or if he was a major league pitcher. Well, I think he's going to get three starts here. It's going to be very important to his future how he does.
What are you expecting to see from Casey Kelly?
I just want to see Kelly let go of the ball free and easy. I just want him not to be thinking about the elbow. I want him just to go out and throw like he can throw. And I think next spring is much more important to him than these couple starts. It's funny because I think these starts are very important to Robbie Erland to get back on the radar. I think Kelly, it's important just to go out, feel good about how he goes into the winter.
It's interesting how different the approaches might be depending on which player you're talking about.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Based on history, based on where they are in the organization. But it's different for every single one of these players.
Right. And, I mean, and the organization, too, that who would have expected, honestly, Jordan, who would have expected Jerko to look good at shortstop? I didn't. I honestly thought, wow, this doesn't seem like a great idea. Well, he's looked really good, and he does some things very, very nicely. He does a nice job charging the ball. He does a nice job after charging the ball of throwing. His arm's better than I thought it would be. And the only thing I really haven't seen from him is going to his right into the hole, into the 5.5 hole. Other than that, I think he's handled that position very well, much better than I would have thought of. And now I'm sure this club's thinking, is he a shortstop? Do we go in that direction? Do we start thinking about him as a shortstop? And if we do, is Spangenberg a second baseman? And if so, that means there's two less pieces we got to find this winter.
Right, because that was one of the storylines coming into this season, whether or not the Padres were going to have to go out and find a shortstop.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Jerko, late into the season, makes the switch. And I think it's been a very common approach, people saying he's looked better than we expected at shortstop. I mean, no one's expecting him to be Ozzie Smith or anything over there.
But it's a small sample size, but he's looked pretty good. He's hit well when he's playing shortstop. I don't know. I mean, he's hit better at shortstop than he has at second. And shortstop was his natural position for an awful lot of years. So, you know, you never know what clicks with a player, but that seems to have clicked.
Right, and when you watch him go to shortstop, you're wondering, okay, how is he going to be defensively?
Right.
Is it going to be able to translate well? And then you start to think, well, what does it impact the offense with?
Right.
Is he going to be too focused on the defense? Will he be too focused on making sure, I mean, shortstop, the most difficult position on the field?
Right. Well, remember, but he had played shortstop for a long time.
Right.
He hadn't played second base until 3 years ago. He might have spent more time thinking about what I do at second base than at shortstop.
And he was coming up as a third baseman.
Right. So it's a very interesting it's been eye-opening to me. I'm not sure that he is the everyday shortstop of the future. I'm not sure that he's not. But I do think it has given the Padres something to think about.
Do you think it has changed their off-season plans potentially?
I think that it's no longer the absolute, oh God, we've got to do something. We got to fix this. I'm now thinking that they're probably thinking, well, you know, boy, if something really came up where we could get an absolute legitimate shortstop, we'd still do it. But if it doesn't happen, we've got some alternatives.
So what are some of the other young guys, the kids as you call them? Who else are you watching? Jerko you bring up. He's a little bit older than the rest of the guys we're starting to see.
Spangenberg.
Spangenberg being one of them. What have you seen from Spangenberg? Do you think he is the second baseman going forward? Is he going to be more of a utility role?
Well, an awful lot of people think that he's a utility player. That's going to be his role. If he hits 270 and plays like he – if he hits a solid 270 – he could be your everyday second baseman. Definitely not a short – I mean, he's not – I don't see him at third base. He doesn't have the production numbers to be a third baseman. I'd like to see a little more power from him as a second baseman even. But I could see that if Jerko was the shortstop by however it works out, that Spangenberg might be your second baseman. And you're not so much focused on the middle infield as you were before.
Yeah, and that was the biggest question mark coming in. And let's just go to the outfield while we're talking about what we're watching here down the stretch. What are you watching for when it comes to the outfielders?
I want to see – it's going to be very interesting to see where Will Myers plays next year, if he's going to be your first baseman or if he's going to be a corner outfielder.
Is that on top of your list? Is that the biggest question mark for the Padres?
Yes.
Where is Will Myers headed?
Because I think that he is pivotal to this team. And he's a very good corner outfielder. You've seen him in left last night for the second time. He looked really good in left. The scouting reports, the book on him as a corner outfielder is very, very good. Not so good in center field. There's a question as to how much ground he covers. We've seen that this year. But he is rated a very good corner outfielder. Now, there's another question. Say you have another left fielder and you're looking at Myers as a first baseman or a right fielder. The question is, would this team be better served with Myers in left and Kemp at first? Get your best, most mobile outfielder in the outfielder and turn your best hitter into a first baseman.
I have not heard that brought up before.
No, and it hasn't. I'm just sitting here throwing some things out that have run through my mind.
Okay. Because it's interesting with Will Myers, he even said it during the season, he likes playing first base.
Right.
He feels comfortable at first base. He even brought it up in a way where he said, you know, this is one position that I actually feel comfortable with.
Right.
And makes you question, like, okay, well, what's going on in center field then? And if he wants to be at first base, does that play into it?
I don't have him in center field next year. I don't have him in center field. I think this team will be much better defensively with either or Jankowski or Melvin Upton Jr., because I don't think you're going to be able to trade that salary. So Melvin's going to be here in some facet. I don't have Will Myers in center, but I have him at either a corner outfield spot or at first base.
How about the pitchers? Any young guys that we're looking at other than Erlen and Kelly?
Well, Robbie, I mean, you're looking at Ray for sure.
Yeah.
Colin Ray, he's going to be back.
He got some good news today.
Did he? I haven't seen it, so.
Colin Ray, Alex Dickerson, MLB Pipeline Prospects of the Year.
That news. Okay, right. Okay. I thought maybe you knew something medically that I didn't know.
I'm not a doctor.
Okay. But, he got that. But I look at him as a back-of-the-rotation starter. I don't see him as one of your 1-2-3s. My rotation right now, I see, like, Shields and Ross. It's been 1-2 Shields and Ross this year. I'm flipping it. I've got Ross 1, Shields 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think Ross is Ross, in my mind, is the guy that can be the ace of the staff. He's got that kind of stuff moving forward.
Okay. All right. Well, now that we've kind of laid the foundation on what we're watching here as we wrap up the season, let's talk about last night's game. We're going to get to the Supercuts cut of the game next. Thought we would get to it here, but instead we're going to come back with it.
Okay.
Do you know who it is? Do you want to take a guess?
The cut of the game?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'll let you think about it. And I also have a present for you when we come back.
One cut or one swing?
One swing.
Then there's no question.
No question about it?
No.
All right. Well, I guess there's no real tease when it comes to that. Find out what the present is then coming up next. How about that?
Number 22.
Number 22.
For Matt Kemp.
How about the second half for Matty Kemp?
Oh, 20. Remember, we're probably at the end of this segment.
We
so,
are.
Okay, because I want to go off on something at the start of the second segment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not me, is it?
It might be.
I was a little worried coming in.
Is that right?
A little bit.
Oh, man. Hey, listen, I wouldn't pick on you if I didn't like you.
Oh, I like that. All right. That makes me feel a little bit more comfortable. We'll find out what you're going to go off on.
Don't
next.
Feel comfortable yet.
And the Supercuts cut of the game will be next as well. This is Padres Social Hour. We're in the AMR studios. It's presented by United. Also, Star Wars Night. Join the many Darth Vaders, Chewbaccas, and Stormtroopers as they invade Petco Park on Saturday. It is September 26th. It's Star Wars Day at Petco Park. Come to the game dressed in your best Star Wars costume. You can purchase a special ticket package and get a custom-themed T-shirt. Only available for the first 2,000 fans with a Star Wars Day ticket. Get your tickets at Padres.com/Star Wars. Padres Social Hour continues next.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, Padres Social Hour presented by United. He is Bill Center. I am Jordan Carruth. I told you coming into the show I was a little bit worried, Bill. I didn't know what your approach was going to be. We kind of have this old school, new school thing going on. Last time we hosted together, you yelled at me about old school candy and new school candy.
Right.
And we talked about your favorite kinds of candy.
You haven't heard me yell.
That's a scary thought.
Right. You really haven't heard me yell.
That's a very good point, actually. Right. I should choose my words a little bit more wisely. Yeah. You did not yell.
Right.
And we talked about, the old school candy. You went with what was your favorites?
Well, I like black licorice, nibs, things like that, Necco wafers.
Good and plenties.
Good and plenties. Those were, absolutely. Okay. Whoppers.
All right.
But they used to be called malted milk balls. Now they're Whoppers.
So. Right. And so that's kind of what started the whole old school versus new school thing. We're going to continue that theme, but a little bit later in the show, we have a surprise for you.
Oh, gosh.
Now are you worried?
No. Okay. No. Because if it's not good, I'll just tell you where to park it.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of that kind of language, this is the reason why I brought a catcher's mask into the show today. This is just for protection in case you were firing some fastballs at me today.
We brought catcher's mask.
Yeah, just for safety. I figured I could dress as a catcher.
You're right. Yeah. You were going to dress as a fool. That's a good Halloween costume.
Could have gotten the chest pad. Right. And just in case, I don't know, maybe the location wasn't going to be there today and some wild pitches coming my way. You can get one of these at the Padres store, you know.
Okay. Right, I would imagine since it says Padres.
Right here at Petco Park. So if you want to come down, I'm prepared today just in case. just in case. All right, so let's go back to last night's game. We were talking about Matt Kemp, talking about his big second half. So also, we were teasing the Supercuts cut of the game. Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Our Supercuts cut of the game, Matt Kemp last night, fifth inning, three-run homer to give the Padres the lead and eventually the win.
And, I mean, it just is a continuation of what he's been doing. He's now got 97 RBIs. He's only three away from the being the 14th player in franchise history, or actually 19 different 100 RBI seasons, but he's that close. I remember the point I want to make is remember in April and May when he wasn't, he had like the one home run, and everybody was saying, oh, his power's disappeared. This guy's washed up.
The one home run was at Wrigley.
Right. And his power is gone. He's washed up. He's never going to hit another home run. And baseball's interesting. It's a long season. And even after 2 months, you cannot draw conclusions as to what's going to happen, as Matt Kemp has so expertly proved this year. His power is not gone.
No, it is not.
What is a mystery is still, why does he have a bad May year after year after year? This is nothing new. It happened with the Dodgers.
Didn't he predict this earlier in the season?
He's always struggled in May.
Saying, hey, second half is probably going to be a little bit better for me.
Right. I mean, and in baseball, you also see that. I mean, there are, like, pitchers who, for some reason, have a trouble getting out of the first inning, which there are a couple guys here. You know, and it's like it just happens over and over again. You think that, hey, you'd be able to do something to fix it, and it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, post-All-Star break, Matt Kemp hitting .290.
Right.
Not bad.
21 homers, 71 RBI since June 5th.
Yeah, he has 22 home runs on the season, 97 RBI. So he's going to very likely reach triple digits in RBI this year.
Well, if he doesn't, it's a long final 2 weeks of the season.
That is a very long final 2 weeks. I don't know, expanded roster. Right. You never know. So
he's going to be in there every day.
Yeah.
You don't think he wants 100 RBI?
Oh, he wants it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Jesse last night had an interesting stat, which I also knew, and I hadn't really. Last night was only his second three-run homer of the season.
Really?
Yeah. Most of his home runs have been, well, all but two have been with either solo shots or with only one guy on.
All but two?
Right. That was only his second three-run homer of the season. No slams.
Right.
Right.
That's interesting.
Right. So guys haven't – that couple top spots in the order, they haven't really been getting on with regularity.
Okay. Is that's the take from it? I don't know what to take from that.
No, that's what I take from it.
Huh. Did not know that. Did not know that at all. Something else we can bring up, the firehouse sub of the game in Craig Kimbrell, which had a very interesting, a very different eighth and ninth inning.
Absolutely.
Craig Kimbrell, the firehouse sub of the game coming in. Make sure to check out the new edition of firehouse subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations. They're in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas, the firehouse sub of the game, Craig Kimbrell. So take us back to last night. What was going on?
I'll
with the
ask
Padres
you.
Closer?
How many times this year has he come in the eighth inning?
Not very often.
That's not an answer.
I'm going to go with a big zero.
Last night was the second time.
Second time. First time he's batted.
Right. First time he's hit since low single A.
Yeah.
So first time in the major leagues, and since the advent of the save rule, he is the seventh closer in major league history to reach 200 saves before he had an at-bat.
Wow.
Right.
It's quite the stat right there.
It's just a little piece of trivia. But you know what? It was interesting because when he came in last night, he could have double switched. He could have brought him in, put him in the seventh spot, which had just hit, and not had to have him hit. But it was interesting after the game because Pat was talking about he didn't want to take out the guys that were in there. He just wanted to leave the lineup the way it was to finish out the game. I like that strategy.
Okay, I want to talk about that a little bit more in depth next because I feel like we could definitely use an entire segment out of that. So there's a lot of questions about what happened last night.
Okay.
And I want to get your insight on what actually did and why. Deal?
Gotcha.
Gotcha. And then also, I didn't give you your present yet.
I think this is one of those segments where you're going to be wrong.
Wrong? How do you even know which way I'm going with this?
Because whatever side I take is going to be right.
That's okay. All right. Very nice. And we're going to find out what that present is next.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know if you deserve it after the first two segments, though.
Hey, I've been nice to you.
You have been kind of nice.
Okay.
You've been nicer.
Back off.
Okay, I'll back off. You're right. Padres Social Hour is going to continue next. We're on the AMR Studios. Petco Park, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Padres Social Hour continues next.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
All right, back inside the AMR studios, this is Padres Social Hour. You can join the conversation in a variety of ways. You can do so on Twitter using the hashtag PadresSH. You can also join the conversation online at Padres.com/Social Hour. You can join the chat there. You can talk about Bill Center.
Nice recovery, by the way, that you got all that in.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Just plug away.
Right.
That's what it is. That's what it's all about. So let's talk about Craig Kimbrel. Let's actually dive into what happened last night, because I feel it's definitely one of those plays or moments in a game that people are going to have different opinions about, curious as to why certain things happen. So just take you back to the bottom of the eighth. This is a inning in which Benoit started, got the first batter out swinging, then a double happens.
Right.
Then they get the next batter swinging, and then Kimbrel comes in for Benoit. And this sets up for the second time, as you mentioned last segment, Craig Kimbrel coming in to a game in the eighth inning, and he's able to get Salta Lamacchia to ground out to second. It ends the inning, and so they go to the ninth inning, 4-3. Padres still had the lead, but a very interesting thing, a very unique situation, something we haven't seen this season. In the top of the ninth, after Melvin Upton Jr. and Austin Hedges go to the plate, Craig Kimbrel comes to the plate, and he ends up striking out looking,
right,
which I don't know if anyone expected much more from Kimbrel. We have never seen him at the plate.
Well, he hasn't hit since low A.
Right.
He actually got the bat on the ball one time, which I give him high marks for.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, what's the analysis of the full at-bat from Craig Kimbrel?
Well, he looked like a pitcher. But, I mean, this is not a guy who regularly takes batting. Closers don't take batting practice.
I love how much fun he's having out there.
Well, he had to borrow a bat and a helmet.
And Shields looking over. Shields is someone who takes so much pride in batting.
He looked better than Odrisimer Despaigne did when he was first hitting up here.
And there's the foul ball. We're going to see Kimbrel making contact. And then staying alive, showing the eye. Little check swing, doesn't go all the way around, so we're good. And then the 2-2 is right there.
Right.
Right there.
There's no – I mean, he got the bat on the ball. I give him high marks for that. I mean,
the count a little bit.
Right. Well, he didn't
– 2-2.
Let's be honest.
That's working the count.
No. He worked the count because the guy missed with a couple pitches. He wasn't like, oh, there's a ball. I'm going to lay off that one.
How do you know that?
Because I was watching him. He was not intentionally laying off pitches.
I'm trying to stick up for him right
now. Okay. I mean, you got pitches like that coming. I couldn't come even close to him.
I can't even see them.
Right.
Let alone hit them.
And people in the stands, that's another point I want to make. This game in the stands looks like, you know, you could go out and do it. I would love – my wish for every baseball fan would be have a chance – to stand behind the batting cage for 5 minutes during a simulated game when a pitcher is coming back from an injury and just see how the velocity and how the movement looks like from right there at the plate. It is astounding. And no, you cannot do it.
No, it's a pretty scary moment, actually.
It is amazing, the sound of the ball, even.
Just to be able to follow it is one thing, let alone being able to digest what's happening and try to react to it and then make contact.
I give Kimbrel high marks for getting the bat on the ball.
All right, I agree with you. So why not the double switch?
Well, and I sort of agreed with it, too, because you've got Spangenberg is in the six hole. That's your natural double switch. But he's playing good second base, And you want to leave your defense out there that's played well together. You want to leave it as a whole. You know, you don't really, you know, Kimbrell's going to come up in the ninth, but you need outs more than you need more runs in that situation. So I was fine with, I know I saw a lot of tweets today, oh, he didn't double switch, he messed up and everything. Well, afterwards he said, no, that was pretty much the plan. I could have double switched, but I wanted to keep the defense in there as it was set up.
So it was a defensive approach, just trying to close out the game. You have the lead at that point.
I mean, he could have also double switched for Wallace, I guess, but he just didn't want to do that. He liked the way the defense was playing, so let him just play it out.
So it did not surprise you?
Did not. It surprised me a little bit because the double switch is the natural move.
Right.
It surprised me that he didn't, but the logic of why he didn't makes sense to me.
He did address it in the postgame
press
conference.
Right, he did talk about it in the postgame analysis.
Right.
And I liked what he said. I tend to agree with him.
Yeah, it's a defensive play. It's a defensive approach. Just close out the game, whatever it takes. You want your best closer in there, obviously. You want to keep your best defensive guys out there in Hedges and Spangenberg.
So what was the most important part of that game to you?
Andrew Cashner.
And how?
Going deep into the game.
And?
And that's something I want to talk about next.
Okay. And not putting it in the hands of the middle relievers who have struggled recently.
That was a conversation Randy Jones and myself had yesterday.
Okay. I think Cashner getting to the taking it through the seventh so you could go straight to Benoit and Kimbrell was an important part of that game. Night before, it fell apart when the middle relievers were asked to protect the two-run lead.
Yes, it did. All right, let's talk about that next because it was a big outing for Andrew Cashner for a lot of reasons.
Yes.
And it was big for a lot of his teammates for a lot of reasons. So
and like last night, he immediately gave, you know, got the quick lead and immediately gave it back. And that's happened too many times this year. And then he rallied and he pitched after the first, he pitched six really good innings.
Okay, we'll continue that. You can join the conversation, hashtag PadresSH. We're in the AMR studios presented by United. Pedal the Cause. Help create a world without cancer. There is still time to join Pedal the Cause and raise money for San Diego's cancer-fighting centers. You can ride in the event this weekend. It's September 18th through the 20th. That is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Or you can easily donate to the cause. To learn more or register, visit sdpedal.org or text PEDAL to 41444 to donate today. Bill Center and myself will be back after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padre Social Hour.
All right, back inside the AMR studios, this is Padre Social Hour. He's Bill Center, Jordan Carruth, talking about a Padres series win in Arizona, a Padres win last night. We already showed Matt Kemp his big three-run homer. It was the Supercuts cut of the game earlier in the show. But another layer to the game that we want to talk about is the performance from starting pitcher Andrew Cashner. Cashner, a guy going for the Padres who's been, I don't know, how would you describe Cashner's season this year?
Well, it's been disappointing. Two, it's he hasn't pitched as bad as his record, but he hasn't pitched great. I'm sure he's not happy with it. He's shown spots of brilliance, but he's also struggled at times when there are guys get on base and he's given up a lot of unearned runs, which is, I mean, after errors, but he hasn't found a way to get out of a lot of innings. And sometimes you talk about your defense picking up pitchers. Well, sometimes pitchers have to pick up their defense and after an error, find a way to get that last out and get out of the inning.
All right, and it was something that was actually a pretty big storyline yesterday before the game, the seventh inning for the Padres this year. Randy Jones and myself actually went back, looked at the run differentials for each inning of the season so far. It's the sixth inning that really stands out. And the seventh inning has kind of stood out lately, so it was even bigger because Kevin Quackenbush giving up the big three-run homer in game two of this series. It was nice. And it was something Randy Jones talked about yesterday, getting that starting pitcher to go into the seventh just to hand it off to Benoit and Kimbrell.
The sixth and seventh have become major problems. Early in the season, you had Brandon Maurer and you had Sean Kelly, and they were really good in those sixth and seventh innings, getting leads, carrying leads, to Benoit and Kimbrel. Well, Maurer's been out since August 11th. Kelly since September 1st. Kelly might be back next week for the last week of the season. But since those guys have been out, their setup has fallen basically to Bud Norris, Kevin Quackenbush, and Nick Vincent. And those, I mean, that is not the same as Brandon Maurer and Sean Kelly. And you've seen, I mean, the results speak for themselves. They've had 12 games since Maurer's been out, where in the sixth or seventh, the game has either swung from a win to a loss, or they have given up the lead and then found a way to win it after that.
So Cashner's line last night in the win.
So important.
7 innings.
Right.
3 earned runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts.
Right.
Pat Murphy, after the game, said, quote, Cashner was great, player of the game for me.
Right.
Do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. If Cashner, and not only was the middle bullpen ineffective recently, it is worn out. It's been overworked. So it was so important. You know, I found a stat this morning that the number of times that the starting pitcher for the Padres this year has actually got to the seventh inning, it's less than 22%. That really taxes your bullpen. So I thought last night Cashner getting to the seventh with the lead was hugely important.
Yeah, it was important for the whole team, the bullpen,
offense,
everything.
Right.
Murphy went on to say he just attacked a very good offensive team. 75% of his pitches or more were fastballs. So hopefully he learned something he can take with him going forward, that he doesn't need to go deep in counts. His fastball is that good.
Right. Right, it's got movement. I mean, use
because
it.
That's been the difference. All of a sudden, right. The pitch count gets a little bit high sooner in the game than you would like.
Right.
And last night, we see Cashner really relying on the fastball, and it gets him through, and he doesn't have to go into the deep counts.
And the other thing was he wasn't overthrowing the fastball. It was 96, 97. It wasn't like these, you know, sometimes velocity is your worst enemy, because you load up and you tend to flatten out. Last night it was a natural fastball, had a lot of movement, and three earned runs in Arizona against that offense and in that ballpark is a good day.
Very much so.
Right.
And I mean his last outing that you can kind of compare with it was the game against St. Louis. The Padres got a win. He went 6 innings, only gave up 4 hits. No earned runs in that game, so a pretty good one. But it's been a while since he's gone 7 innings.
Right.
It's the first time in September. He did not do it in August. And
the second time since the All-Star break.
Yeah, he did it twice in July.
Right. Once before and once after the All-Star break.
It was right.
Last night was the second time since the All-Star break that he had gone 7 innings.
Yeah, he finished the first half going 7, started the second half going 7.
Right. And then
it took until last night to see that benchmark once again.
Right.
Yeah, even Cashner afterwards, he said, quote, I haven't really gone deep into games lately. It was big to go deep. I commanded my fastball a lot better. I kept it down in the zone, kept them off balance as far as inside and outside of the plate. So
right.
Even he's admitting, I have not gone deep into the games lately, and it was really big for the team that I did.
And I think the key was he didn't overthrow the fastball. He just let it work. He's got great velocity without having to overthrow it. So, I mean, he's got movement when it's 95, 96. He's got better movement than he does when it's faster.
Thoughts on Cashner this offseason going forward? It's been a very unique season for him.
This has been a trying season. I mean, he's got the personal thing. His mom is battling leukemia and very close. That's been going on since spring training. He's pitched in bad luck. He leads the league in unearned runs allowed. Some of that's not his fault. Some of that is sort of nebulous. But it's been an unusual. It's been a down season. I think it's going to be a very interesting offseason to see if he stays or if they trade him. I think that is somebody that they could trade.
Yeah.
Yes, because he's. He's coming to the, you know, he hasn't shown any real desire to, like, talk about a long-term contract here. And we are coming to that window where, you know, he'll be a free agent in 2 years, I think. So this might be the best time, although I don't think you can get full value for him right now. But I think that if somebody said, hey, we'll give you a couple real good pitching prospects, or we'll give you something else you need, and you can get pitching prospects elsewhere in another deal, I think that Cashner is one of those guys that might be moved.
Hmm. All right. Because earlier in the show, you said Tyson probably the one,
right.
Maybe Shields the two next year.
Right.
Got a lot of movement going on with the pitching staff.
Well, I think that, you know, if you're going to move, I don't want to move Ross. Shields' contract is, to me, says he's not going to be moved. So I think that if there's going to be any, Kennedy probably will not be back as a free agent. So if there's going to be any movement in the starting pitching, I think that it could be Andrew.
Right.
I don't want to see that. I still think that this guy's got a lot of upside. But I could see where some other team would think, boy, this is a diamond in the rough.
Right.
I think that's correct. And you just never know.
Just had a birthday, 29 years old now.
Right.
So we'll see. Might be an interesting offseason for a lot of players with San Diego. We will see going forward. Something big happened today in Major League Baseball between the Pirates and the Cubs. I want to get your thought on it.
We'll get to it next. Gotcha.
But yeah, we'll be able to show the highlight and kind of what it means, just reactions from it. It's not exactly a Buster Posey type play where maybe, I don't know if rules are going to be changed or anything like that.
No.
But let's talk about that next. It was kind of a big play between the Cubs and the Pirates. The Cubs getting a win today. All of a sudden, Chicago just two games back of hosting that wild card game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Very interesting to see that race come down to the wire.
Right.
So we'll talk about that next, Padres Social Hour. You can join the conversation online, padres.com/social hour. Evans Tire at Evans Tire and Service Centers. Buy two select tires and get two free with quality name brand tires and 16 convenient locations. Why shop anywhere else? Visit evanstire.com, home of the buy two, get two. Bill Center and myself will be back next on Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, presented by United, it is Padres Social Hour in the AMR studios. He's Bill Center. I'm Jordan Carruth. And Bill, you've treated me very well tonight. I appreciate that.
We still got 12 minutes to go.
I'm going to finish strong.
You never know.
I want to give you your present.
I just want to see if you finish.
Is that in question right now?
Yeah, it could be.
It could be. Well, hopefully this helps. I noticed last time I came on, I brought you candy. And how
Red Vines, it's not licorice.
But you ate it anyway.
Yes.
You had this whole thing about how much you could not stand.
Those were actually Twizzlers. I didn't say I couldn't stand them. I just said it's not licorice.
Yeah, you kind of
sound. Find the word licorice on there.
I'm not probably going to. There's probably no. Oh, it says grape, cherry, black licorice on the back. It says licorice.
Yeah, grape, cherry, but no, it's not licorice.
So you had this whole thing about how you can't stand them, and I come back and I open the drawer, and it's open, everything's already had. So I figured you'd probably want some more.
Yeah.
I also brought you a Twix. You like Twix?
No.
Ugh. I don't know why I try. Blooper, help me out here. York?
Nope.
I love
no.
Twix.
No. You like Twix?
Not even
but
in
he's
the
but he likes these things, but you're killing him because he's not having them right now.
He can have them.
No,
if
he can't.
If I want, I can eat them. I might have a Twix.
You don't like York?
No.
Throw them in a fridge or a freezer?
No.
Oh, my. I don't know what to do with Center.
So you got two of those. That's a nice job.
I brought two of those because I'm going to take one of these home, actually.
Good. You're going to take them both home.
No, I'm going to put it in the drawer, and you know what's going to happen. Next time I come here, I'm going to find out you had
might
some
not
and
be
you
me.
Loved it.
Might not be me.
I heard you really liked it. All right, let's get to the stuff going around Major League Baseball. I'm going to put you on the Cholula hot seat right now because I want to get your opinion on what happened today. At PNC Park, it was in Pittsburgh, Cubs and Pirates. It was a play that happened at second base, and it's going to be a play that really impacts the Pittsburgh Pirates going forward. It's something that we saw a tweet on. Ed's calling in, and he's saying, Gong injury neighborhood play obviously did not prevent this injury. Time to come down on players who do take out slides. Hashtag uncool. Here's the play. The throw to second. And you see that the base runner, nothing, I don't know, too out of ordinary. You see this pretty regularly, don't you? sliding into second.
I got no problems with that play.
No problem.
No. He can touch the base. I mean, sadly, somebody got hurt, but the job is the base runner. If you can take out the infielder on the double play and break up the double play, you do it. He did not maliciously go after him. He had, you know, if you slide and can't make the, if you slide and can't reach the base, you're out. That's the protection. He was able to touch the base, which he did slide into second, and he got him with his legs. Right. That is a perfectly legal play.
This is an emotional.
You see that play an awful lot in baseball. I mean, yes, earlier this year we lost Spangenberg for a month on a play like that. It's tough. You hate to see it happen.
There's a lot of reaction to it because there's a lot of layers to it because these are two teams that are fighting each
right,
other for
absolutely.
Who's going to have the home field advantage in that wild card game.
And Gong suffered a serious injury. I mean, it's a torn MCL, and I understand he's got a fracture to the
tibia.
So, yeah, it's a horrible situation. But you can't take injuries, you can't take contact completely out of the game. That is illegal. You know, and we were talking a couple days ago about these new catcher rules that, okay, you know, when you leave a lane open, you can't block the plate anymore because we don't want the catchers run into. Well, what you've got now is you've got him leaving a lane open and stretching to make the tag
right.
and leaving the catcher.
Norris was.
Right, leaving yeah. the catcher even more vulnerable. So.
So this isn't a Buster Posey type of rule change coming
no,
forward or anything?
No, I don't
right?
think so. It's I hope not.
It's a very layered story.
Right.
There's a lot going on, so it's going to be emotional.
Right. And, of course,
so
you
no
got,
issues.
You got two teams. Well, there are going to be issues. There will probably be retaliation the next time these teams – well, I don't know if they meet again. But, you know –
well, they're going to meet each other in the playoffs
right.
most likely.
Right. Likely in the playoffs. But you're not going to risk doing something there in a one-game winner-take-all series. You're gonna play to win that game. But down the road, maybe next year, there
they,
might be retaliation.
They actually head to Wrigley in three series from now.
Okay. Well,
The next three series for the Pirates at the L.A. Dodgers starting this weekend. Then they go to Colorado, four-game series in Denver. And then it is off to Wrigley for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's a tough road trip for the Pirates. That is a really tough road trip.
Then they're home to St. Louis and finish with Cincy. And then it's playoff time.
Right. So.
All right.
So you may see something happen in Chicago.
All right. You survived the Cholula hot seat.
Good.
Cholula hot sauce
Have
will
you?
Elevate the flavor, we'll see, of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. We have a surprise for Bill Center when we come back on Padres Social Hour.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back in the AMR studios, Padres Social Hour. As we wrap things up, we got to get to a tweet. Ghost of Ray Kroc chiming in. Padres Central doesn't like Twix or York peppermint patties. You, sir, are a monster.
Yeah, Ghost. Go have another hot dog or four.
I'm going to have York peppermint patties. I'm
Go
taking
ahead.
These home.
Good.
They're going
take,
in the fridge.
Take them.
And I'm going to enjoy them.
I'm waiting for Ghost to go for that 9 hot dog day again.
I'm going to come back and all these red vines are going to be gone and you're going to claim that you had none of them.
I had the Twizzlers. I'll admit that.
All right. We have a surprise for you today.
Oh, God.
So you know how we kind of have this old school versus new school thing going on?
Right.
Right. It started with the candy.
Right.
So let's talk about some baseball stuff, old school versus new school. I want to know your thoughts on the new look, the facial hair. You can think of Raleigh Fingers back in the day, and you can compare it to some players like this. We had Derek Norris, Ian Kennedy, Dallas Keuchel. Your thoughts on just the new look facial hair in Major League Baseball?
Whoa!
What is that?
I'm not a fan of facial hair at all.
What about your facial hair?
That's never happened.
According to the screen, it has.
It wouldn't be black.
Are you looking at it? Wouldn't be?
No, not at all.
Do you see the mustaches that are going on right now?
Yeah, I see that. Right. I'm really amused. No, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of facial hair. I never have been. Never will be. Just don't like it.
You're not even going to pick a favorite?
Nope. I would not have any favorites in facial hair.
All right. Enjoy those red vines. I had a good time. Thanks
see
for playing
ya.
Nice. Padres
Thanks.
Social
Thanks,
Hour
George.
Tomorrow. Ben Higgins. Kurt Bavakwa.